Okay. If you are having problems sending me a zipped Visual Basic, okay, first of all, Outlook apparently is giving people some grief at some points when you're trying to send it. Gmail definitely does. So if you try to send it from a Gmail account, you usually have a problem. The problem is that it doesn't want to send an executable. And Visual Basic has in it something that it considers an executable. So it doesn't want to send an executable. So one of the things that I have done in the past, to be sneaky, is suggested to people that they zip it up, then they change the extension to JPG, send it to me with the extension of JPG with a note that says, change this to ZIP. And we manage to usually trick them into letting it through, okay? Because they think of it as a JPEG, they don't check it in the same way that they check an zip. So that's one workaround, is to do that. The other workaround is to just load the zip files up on CIS Web. Okay, if you load the zip files up on CIS Web, and then you can send it to me and say, you'll find it at CIS Web, Top Bristol, cc.edu/tilde your username/the file.zip. Whatever it is that you're sending me. And then, so you put it up on CIS Web in your home directory, and then you send me and say, that's where it is. And I can then click on this address and download it, unzip it, and run it. So that's the alternative way that you can get things to me. Yeah.
The weird part was, I was just trying to send, after that didn't work, I figured it was a VB issue or something with my how I saved it. So I just tried to send you an email just explaining the issue, and that wouldn't go through either.
And then that's kind of strange.
I couldn't send them my paper, I couldn't send anything. It just kept popping up spam. You know?
Are we good to go on that? I think so.
Yeah.
I talked to Ray, I talked to Rose.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Rose sent you the stuff and I'm happy with it.
Rose sent me all the courses.
Sorry, folks.
She sent me all the courses last night and then Mike sent the phone this morning with those answers that we'll have, you know, that then I will get. All right. So I'm just going to send it all, I'm going to package it all and send it to the camera this morning.
Okay. Good. Thank you. Okay, so I don't know why. Whether it decided you were a spam sender and therefore it wanted nothing more to do with you or what. I have no idea why that would happen. You know, try it from a different browser and see if that will work. But this is probably the most sure way of doing it, is to put it up on CIS Web. Put the zip file up on CIS Web, okay? So, log into CIS Web. And put file.zip, or whatever you want to call it. Okay? And you can put five of them there and send me five different addresses. Or you can zip them all together. It's up to you how you want to do it. But you put them up on to CIS Web, and then you send it to me as CIS Web, bristolcc.edu, fill your username in the file. If you put it in a folder, obviously you have to include the folder. Okay, so if you're having problems sending it to me, Gmail is always a problem. So if you try to send it from a Gmail account, it is going to give you grief. The workaround that I also just suggested is if you change zip to say JPEG and send it to me, that usually works. But I keep waiting for them to catch on. Okay, and they haven't yet, so, but I don't know for sure they haven't yet. Nobody's done it in the last week or two. So, that's the other way of doing it, is to change the extension to JPEG. Send it to me, tell me that you've changed the extension, I change it back, and it works. So that's the other way that people have done it.
That's a WinSCP, right?
Yes.
And then CIS.
Yes. Browser. Yes. WinSCP is the software you're using to log into CIS Web. Okay. So you're logging into CIS Web. Okay. So that's a way of getting around it. Worst case scenario, we got labs next week, bring it to me on a zip drive and I'll download it. And we'll download it during the lab and put it on something that I have.
Well, what started to worry me was everything. It was like papers.
Yeah, no, that's not a good idea.
Just, I was just saying, hey, there's an issue, and then
right.
Like, nope.
No. I'm going to talk to help desk about that personally.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I would too.
Isn't CIS Web Info just your student info? Like, it should be the same password as my account, right?
Say that again?
Like, CIS Web should be connected to the student email, right? Well, the same, like, profile.
I have no idea. Is it? It's
no, because when you log on to, like, the server, when you go through WinSCP, it's your Linux password. You should have got sent that info, like, you logged
in. Oh, okay.
It's not the same as your, like...
I figured we reset it already.
Yeah, no, that's what I didn't think it was.
It's the same username, it's just not the same password.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. I wasn't thinking.
Reset the password.
Because we have passwords all over the place for the different classes you take that are different, but the username is always the same. Okay, so if you're having problems with Visual Basic, the problem is that there is an executable in it. And a lot of the browsers are getting very sensitive about sending executables, okay? And Gmail being the main person that's the problem, but apparently some people are having problems with Outlook. So, that's that problem. Okay, today we're going to go back to looking at databases. So we're kind of making a round trip into HTML, which we did to do the portfolio. And now we're making another trip into databases. When we looked at databases at the beginning of the semester, we only looked at them as having one table. But in reality, a database is going to have multiple tables. And if you are going to have multiple tables, you want to have what is called a relational database. And to have a good relational database, it should be designed to be in third normal form. Okay? So establish the relationships in third normal form. Okay, that is considered the primary rules for developing a good database. To follow the three rules, and if you follow those three rules, then you're in what is called third normal form. Okay? So, a relationship, if it is in first normal form, if it does not contain repeating groups. Okay, so that's the first rule. When you develop a table, when you design a table, it can't have repeating groups. Okay, now what does repeating groups mean? Repeating groups means that you're a student. And if I put on your table that has your student name, student address, all of that, and I start putting the courses that you've taken, then I would have to reserve a field for the course number, the semester you took it, and the grade. Then I would have to do the same for the second course you took. Then I'd have to do the same for the third course you took. So I would lay out this table, and when do I stop? Do I say, okay, most students will not take more than 30 courses, So I'm gonna stop, and I'm only gonna leave room for 30 courses. Well, as soon as you decide there's only gonna be 30 courses, somebody signs up for that 31st course, and you tell them, sorry, I can't handle it, because I only have spots for 30 courses. So that's the reason you can't have repeating groups, is that repeating groups present a problem in that area. And I always tell the story of I tried to place an order, and I wanted 7 or 8 things. And after I got to 5 things, the woman said, thank you for your order. And I said, but I'm not done. And she said, but you filled your order. I can't take any more. And I said, but I want. And we argued for a while. And she finally said, all right, and sighed at this aggravating customer that she had. And I had to give her my name again, my address again, and all that information again, because she made out a second order for me. So every order was only allowed to have 5 different items in the order. And once I got past 5, she couldn't take it. The only way she could do it is start a brand new order for me and put the others on there. Okay, so you don't want to set up that situation. So that's why you cannot have repeating groups. So what you do, okay, is if you are the student one, then we have your student file table. And on your student table, there is a student ID and a student name and an address and a major and all the other kinds of information that you want to keep about the student. Okay, so all the information about the student is in the student table. Then I have student courses table. Okay, so this is the student courses table. And I'm going to put on this the student ID, so that I know what student it is. I'm going to put the course number so I know what course it is that the person was taking. I'm going to put in the semester year information, and I'm going to put in the grade. Okay? And so every course that the student takes, I will develop a new record for this table that has their student ID, what course it was, what semester, what grade. So if they want to take 100 courses, that's fine. I'll have 100 records on there for each course they took. If they only want to take 3 courses, I'll have 3 records on there. But that avoids the problem of repeating groups, because what I'm doing is putting each course that they're taking onto the student course table. Okay. Now, we have an interesting problem here, because we need to establish a primary key. And if you remember, a primary key has to uniquely identify one and only one record. Okay, it has to be the thing that uniquely identifies a record. So what can be the primary key can be made up of more than one field. Okay, you can have a combination of fields to make a primary key. So what's going to be the primary key for that table?
The ID.
The student ID can't be it, because then you could never take a second course.
You just have to probably create a new one.
I could. But that usually makes it just an arbitrary number that, you know, it's better, I think, it's better if I can combine the data there and get something unique.
So you don't need something that's completely, well, you, no, you do need something that's completely unique.
But it can be made up of multiple fields.
Okay.
So student ID doesn't do it, right? Because more than one student, I mean more than one course, they want to take more than one course. If I ran a college where every student could only take one course, I'd be out of business very quickly. Okay, so I can't do it student ID, yeah.
Can you do a major?
No, because hopefully I'm going to have more than one major in a course.
So then course number?
Course number, hopefully I'm going to have more than one student in a course.
Oh, okay, that's...
No. Okay, yeah.
Course number, I thought you meant...
The combination of STU ID and STU name.
STU ID and what?
STU name.
No, because I've got that name over here, but I'm not putting it over here. And that would probably work in the sense of uniquely identifying the student, but then what would I do when they wanted to take a second course? It's got to be something about the course mixed in. So again, you can combine fields. So what fields could I combine? Let's just assume that I only want these four fields. What fields can I combine to make it unique?
The grade and the course number?
No, because then once I give an A, nobody else can have an A. Yeah.
Course number and semester year?
That would mean only one course per semester.
It's hopeless. I don't follow.
It's hopeless.
No, it's not hopeless. Come on, one more guess. How about these three together? That is a student. So let's say my student number is 111. So that's the student ID. They're going to take CIS 120, so there's the 120. And they're going to take it in the spring of 18. Okay? And then my next student comes along, and they're student 112. They're taking 120, spring of 18. But that's unique, right? Because one of those fields, these three fields are the primary key. 112, 120, S18 is different. Okay, then I've got another friend for 112. 112 took 120 before in the fall of 17 and didn't pass it. So they're taking it again. Okay, so this time they have an F. This time they have an A. So I've got now a student, and then I can have a student for 112 that took 150 in the fall of 17. So any combination that you come up with is going to work. Student number, here's the course number, here's the semester, okay? If they take the course twice, I need to have different semester years. You can't take the same course twice in one semester, okay? But if they have to take the course twice, I've handled it by having a different semester year. What has to be unique is the combination of these three fields makes the primary key. And the combination of those three fields gives me uniqueness, because it's a student taking a course during a given semester and year. Okay? So those three things together make the primary key. Okay? And we're just talking about this to kind of expose you to it. There are whole semester or two semester courses on developing a database. When you decide you need to develop a database, you usually end up having a bunch of people from the business and a bunch of people from IT working together to design it. And that's the hard part. Once it's been designed, the implementation is easy. It's the design that's the hard part. Okay, knowing that I've got to have a unique primary key, and what fields do I need to have that unique? And student ID and course number would have worked fine, except for the reality that not everybody passes. And so if you don't pass, then you're gonna have to take it again if it's a required course. So I needed semester year in there to make it unique, okay? Because otherwise, no student would ever be allowed to retake a course, okay? So I have to have something in there that allows for all of the reality, which, as I said, why you need somebody from the business, i.e. the college, saying, no, 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 student ID and course number is not enough because somebody may have to take the course again. They may withdraw or they may fail. Okay. So that is the repeating groups part. Okay. Then I set up this table, and when I set up this table, this is what I need to set up to make the table work. Okay. Now, when I've got multiple tables on a database, I also need to be able to have them link. So here is how they can link together, is based on student ID. That gives me a link between. Okay? So if I then take and say, okay, now I'm going to also have a course table. Okay, and in the course table, I'm going to have the course number, the course name, the number of credits, and any other information I need about it. And this time I'm okay, course number can be the primary key. Okay, because no two courses can have the same course number. Now I didn't put the CIS in front of 120 and I probably should have, but I was being lazy and just using the 120. But we have a 6-digit number that includes the type of course it is and the number to be able to use 150 in various departments, or 120 in various departments. Okay, so now I have a course number that is a primary key over there, and these two link together. Okay, so I'm linking right there, the course number, so that I can, if I want to print out a transcript for a particular student, I can get the information about the student name, address that go at the top of the transcript. Then when I'm listing the courses that they've taken, I can use the course number to link over here and get the course name and the number of credits. So I start out with the student ID, then I want to list the number of courses so that they took. So I branch over here and say, okay, everything with that student ID I'm going to list, and as I list them, whoops, I want the course name, so I'll link over here and grab the course name and the number of credits. What you want to do is not have repeating information. So, except for things that we link together. So, for example, somebody said the student name. I don't want to carry the student name in a couple of places, because if I carry the student name in a couple of places and somebody changes their name, I got to go change it in every single place, okay? So you want to be very careful to carry information that isn't used for linking purposes only once. You don't want to carry it multiple times, okay? And that's mainly for maintenance purposes, okay? If you change your address, I want to change one thing. I don't want to change it on 5 different tables. I want to change it once, and your address will be changed, okay? So the only thing that I want to repeat are the things that are used to link the different tables together. Okay. Now, if I go back to look at the normal form, OK, Okay, so first normal form is no repeating groups. And that was a long discussion of that, but anyway. Then the next one says, a relationship is in second normal form if it is in first normal form, and no non-key attribute is dependent on only a portion of the primary keys. Okay? So no non-key attribute is dependent on only a portion of the primary key. Translated into English, that means that grade is a field that I put on here, okay? Grade is the only field that I have here that's not part of the key. The grade is dependent on all of these things. So the grade is that student taking that course that particular semester a year. So it is all about the student taking a particular course, a particular semester and year. This is the grade they got. So grade is totally dependent on all three parts of it. Okay? What I would not want to do is, for example, put the course name in here, because the course name is only dependent on the course number. The course name has nothing to do with the student. It is only dependent on the course number and possibly the semester and year if I changed it. But it is definitely, the course name has nothing to do with the student. So I would not put course name on here because it's not dependent on all three parts. But grade is. And then if we go back to third normal form rules again, whoops. The relationship is in third normal form, and if it is in second normal form, and the only determinants it contains are candidates' keys. Okay. So, yeah.
So does that mean what you were working with before is in first and second normal?
Yes.
Okay.
Now I'm in first and second. Okay. Now, let's say I want to give the name of the major. Okay. If I put the major name in over here, that's wrong. Because the major name is dependent on the major code. It is not dependent on the student ID, and the student ID is the primary key. So the major code is a determinant, and the major name is determined by the major code. So I can't put that there, okay? Because it is not dependent on the primary key. So if I want to have something about majors, I would set up a major table. And it would have the major on it. This is kind of a major code. And then it would have the major name and the chair of the department and all of that good stuff. And the major would be the primary key. So I would set up another table, and if I want to find out the name of the major, I need to link down here, and that will tell me the name of the major. But I've now set up another table to let me know the name of the major. So now this is in third normal form. Okay, it meets the rules for third normal form. I'm going to copy that because I want to add some stuff. Okay. Now, the other thing that you have to be aware of when you're designing this stuff is the relationships between the tables. So, relationships between the tables. You can have a one-to-one relationship, a one-to-many relationship, or a many-to-many relationship. Okay, so those are the relationships you can have. Okay, a one-to-one relationship is not used very often. But let's say for your employees, some of the information about your employee is very secure and you don't want everybody to have access to it, like their salary. Other information like their address is not secure. So you might want to set up two tables. One table has the information that everybody can access, and one of them has a table for that student, I mean that employee, with secure information, like reviews, salary, the stuff that you are keeping private. And so you have a one-to-one relationship between those. And you set up a security thing that nobody without authorization can access the second table, but everybody in the company can access the first table. And so both of them would have a student ID, okay, as their main key. One-to-many, when we just had the student table and the student course table, we had a one-to-many relationship. One student can take many courses. Okay, one student can take many courses. Okay, so that table became a one-to-many relationship between one student can take many courses. Okay. Then that also, when you have all three tables there, it also comes up with a many-to-many. But I'm going to put something else up that shows a many-to-many, and then we'll come back. This is, I think, one of the better examples I found at one point about a many-to-many relationship. I'm going to have stars, and I'm going to have movies. Okay. So I'm going to have the movie number is my primary key here, and the star ID is going to be my primary key here. Okay, so I've got a star ID as my primary key and the movie number is my primary key. Then I will put name information, address information, etc., whatever information I want. But I would like to know what movies the star was in. Okay? But if I try to put movies over here, what movie they were in, I'm going to end up with repeating groups. Because one star, presumably, is going to be in many movies if they're a star. And so, if I try to put movie information over there, I'm going to have repeating groups. So, over here, I've got the movie name. And who did the movie, etc., whatever I want. I'm going to have something about the movie over there. And if I decide I'd like to have the information about who starred in the movie, I've got a problem because it would be repeating groups because most movies are going to have more than one star. So I end up with having repeating groups. So what I end up doing is making what they call a bridge table. The bridges between these two. And that ends up being my star movie table. And in my star movie table, I will have the star ID and the movie ID. Okay? And the salary or pay that they got for doing that movie. Okay? So my primary key here is going to be these two things together. the star and the movie. So a particular star in a particular movie got this particular salary. And the salary relates to both parts of the primary key because it's the salary to a particular star for having acted in a particular movie. Okay? So now, if I want a list of all of the movies a star was in, I link over, and all of the records that had that star ID, I print out. And if I want to know the name of the movie, I link over there, and I can get the name of the movie as well. Okay. Or if I want to list all my movies and then list the stars, whoops, I do that. Connected to the wrong place. So I can list the movies, link over to the table to find out who the stars were, and list the star ID, and link over to the star table to get their name. So I can link back and forth and get all of the information that I want. Okay? Questions? So when I come back over here, the student course table really ends up being a bridge between the student and the course table. So it's another example of many to many. One student takes many courses, and one course is taken by many students. So a student takes many courses, and a course is taken by many students. That means a many to many relationship. So this gives me a many-to-many relationship. Okay. So that puts it into third normal form. That's not what I want. Okay, that's what I wanted. Okay, so usually you start out and you say, I want to keep all of the following information. And this one, I have department instead of major. But anyway, this one, I am going to put all of this information out on a student table. Okay, so that information is going into the student table. Information about the department, as I said, I called it department instead of major. Information about the department is going in another table. Information about the courses are going in another one. And so I end up with the four tables that we just talked about. The student table, the major table, which is department. The course table. And then the student course table is down here. Now what happens here is that I have to then worry about the linking material. So this student course table is going to need to have the student ID, and it's going to need to have the course ID as well as the semester and year, because I have to be able to identify and link. And I don't know why it has now decided that I can only write in black, no matter which one of the ones I pick up. Okay, but anyway, so if you look at the other thing that I gave you here, I have set up the access database for this. And I'll save it out on my F drive. Yes, I guess so. Okay, so I have four tables set up here. And these are similar to the tables that I did. As I said, department is major. So if I look at my student table, okay, I did a create tables four times, and I've got four different tables. So if I look at my student table in design view, it's got the student ID that's listed as the primary key, the student's name, their city and state, the department code, which as I said is major for our purposes, and the student's GPA. So that's the information that I'm carrying on the student's table. Then I go to the next one, which I'll make the course table that I'll look at next. And the course table has the course number, the course name, and the number of credits. And the primary key is the course number. Okay. Then I'm going to go to the student course table. And this one has the student ID, the course number, semester year, and the grade. And these three things are all part of the primary key, so they all have the key in front of them. Okay, so what you do is you highlight the three things, and after you've highlighted all three, you hit the primary key symbol. So to get the primary key there, I have to highlight the first three things. And after I've got the all three things highlighted, then I hit the primary key figure over here, and it becomes the primary key. It becomes those three fields combined. Okay. And then the department table or major table, the design view of that is the department code or major code, the department name, and the department chair. And so those are the three, and department code is the major. Now, there's other things that you have to keep track of here. Here I've got department code, and I made it a short text of two. And department code is something that I am using to link back to the student table. So here I defined it as short text 2. Over on the student table, I have to be very careful to define it as short text 2. They have to be the same field, has to be the same definition, or it's a more iffy whether they will connect correctly. So I need to have this one the same as in the department. Okay, the student ID here I made short text for 5 characters. Where else is the student ID? Well, it's on the student course table. So I'm going to look on the student course table and see it is defined as short text, 5 characters. So it's been defined the same. Okay, if I go to the course number was short text and 6 characters. Okay, so that's in the student, in the course table. If I go to the student course table, I need to have course number defined as 6. So again, it's the same. Because these are linking, so you want to have them the same kind of data. You don't want to have one a number and the other a string, because they're not going to match as well. Yeah.
I probably missed it, but are they linked simply by being the same name in different tables?
No, I dragged the links over to make them link. If they're not, they may get, it may figure it out, but it may not.
Okay.
And we're going to do that next, actually.
Oh, okay.
So these are the fields that I have, and I need to set them up so that they have the same type and the same size. I also usually give them the same name, for my sake more than anybody else's. If I don't give them the same name, it can handle that, as long as I link them correctly. And we'll look at linking in a minute. Okay? So, questions.
How did you do the multiple primary key again?
Highlight them all and then hit the primary key. Okay, so I'm going to close these down now. Because when you develop queries, they should be closed down. So I'm closing them down. And I'm going to do create query design. Okay, so I'm creating a query design. And I'm going to choose that I want to have the student table and the student course table. And those are the only two that I want to have this particular time. So I click on which tables I want. And I could have clicked on them all. But I click on which tables I want. Okay? And then I close. So I now have these two tables. Sometimes Microsoft is smart enough to figure out the link between student ID and student ID. Sometimes it's not. Okay? So at this point, I need to establish that link. So I drag one of them over on top of the other, and it establishes the link. And it doesn't matter which direction I did it. I drag one of them over on top of the other. And it establishes the link. Yeah.
How do you break a link?
Go in and kill it. Delete. Okay. So I've now got a link between the two tables. Okay. So now I can treat this just like a query that I do with one table. I grab the information and bring it down. Okay, now I'm bringing down the student ID on both just to prove that they are linking. But in fact, trusting that they're linking, I would only drag down the student ID once. Okay, but I brought it down on both of them. And notice it tells the name of the table. This is the student ID on the student table. This is the student ID on the student course table. Okay? And then I'm going to bring down the student's name. I'm going to bring down the course. I'm going to bring down the semester year. And I'm going to bring down the grade. Okay, so I'm bringing down information from all of those tables. And now, if I run this, either run or datasheet view, there is the information. And you can see that the IDs are indeed linked and they are indeed the same. Okay? Because the two IDs are the same. So Jane Costa took two courses. James Souza took three courses. And you can see the information as to what courses they took, who they were, and that information. Now, if I wanted the name of the course here, I would have had to have included a third table so that I could get the name of the course off the third table. Okay, so I would have needed to include a third table. Okay. Yeah?
Couldn't you put the course name in the student course table? Or is that not possible because it's linked to the course number?
Exactly.
Okay.
You answered your own question. It's not linked to the full primary key. And so, no, you can't. better to have too many tables than to try to, because it really doesn't do any harm. Okay, so I'm taking a picture of this, and then I'm going to go back and I'm going to take the link out. So I'm going back here and taking out the link. So I no longer am linking. And now if I go and look at the data sheet view, I have every possible combination. Since it's not linking, it's given me every possible combination. So it went over from this and it took all of the ones. Student had 111 for this, and it linked it to every table, every student. It linked it to every student. And then it took 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and linked it to every student. So if you don't do the linking, you get every possible combination, which is a bunch of worthless data. Okay, so you've got worthless data there. So it is very important when you go back to put in the link between student ID and student ID, and now when I run it, I have just the right thing. I'm linking the two student IDs are the same. And so I've linked them, yeah.
Is there a way to link it and then have it so it doesn't show the numbers twice?
Sure, just don't bring them over when you made the design. When I did the design of this table, I brought down the student ID twice.
Oh, I see.
And I did it so that because of the point that I wanted to make about the way it links. But if I were doing this in reality, I'd bring it down from one table or the other. It doesn't matter because they're the same. But I'd only bring it down from one table. Okay. But I did that on purpose.
But usually the course number would be different than the student ID.
Right. But those are both student IDs.
Oh, I see.
There's a student ID from the student table,
yep.
And student ID from the student course table. So they're both student IDs. And they're the field that I'm linking on. And so do I need the field that I'm linking on? Absolutely not. But that's the field that I'm linking on. You know, do I need it twice? I mean, I need it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't actually need it. It would link without me bringing it down if I didn't want to see it. If I don't want to see the stuff, I'm only putting down the stuff I want to see. And if I didn't really care about seeing the student ID, if I wanted to just see the name and that, then I could do that. Okay, so I'm going to save this one. You want to save the changes? Yes. I'm going to link to. And now I'm going to create another query. Yes.
So when you're dragging it down to the bottom, that's not just what's going to be seen, that's what's going to be used, because there's a box there that says show.
That you can click you can click that off if you want to, if you don't want to see the field. I guess I'm not real clear about why I'd want to pull it down if I'm not going to use it, but...
That's where I find that show option kind of weird.
I agree.
I shouldn't know if I was misunderstanding it.
No. So that would have been the other way, is once I brought down that course ID, I could have gone back and said I didn't want to see it. Okay, so now I'm going to have the student table, the student course table, the department table, and the course table. So I'm adding them all. So on this one, I have 4 different tables now. Okay. So, for some reason, known only to itself, it decided that it knew that the department codes were the same, so it linked the department codes. Okay. So now, what else do I want to link to make this work? What are the things that I need to link here? Yep. So I'll drag this student ID over on top of that student ID. And move this a little. And then what else do I have to link? Course number to course number. Okay, so I've now established all of the links. I've got the department code linking to the department code, the student ID linking to the student ID, and the course number linking to the course number. So I've established the relationships between all these tables. And then what I can do is I can bring down the student ID, the student name, the department, student name, the department code, and the department name, and the course number, and the course name, and the grade. And I've run out of room, so that's enough. Okay? So I can drag things down from all of the tables. These three came from the student table, this came from the department, this came from the student course, this came from the course, this came from student course. So I've dragged it all down, and now I am going to run this. And that's what I've got. Student ID number, Jane Costa, is in the CI department, which is Computer Information Systems. She took CIS 120, which is programming, and she got an A in it. So I've got information that I've related from all four of the tables, all showing up. Okay. Questions? Okay, your assignments. So we can go back and look at that now. Go back to the home page and look at the assignment. And this is what you should see. Okay. So basically, we have a relational database that I want you to develop. So I have a donor table, which is the list of the people that have donated to my charity or whatever. And the donor table has a donor ID, which is the primary key, a donor name, and a donor address. Then I have a series of drives that I do for my charity. And so I have the drive number and the drive name and the drive goal, meaning how much money I want to get on that drive, what that drive. Okay, so I might have drive number 100 is for the animal hospital, and I want to get $10,000 or whatever. Then I want to keep track of donations, and my goal is for everybody to give to me often. So I need to be able to take more than one donation from a person. So I have my donor ID, and then I decided I wanted to know what drive they were donating to. So I said the drive number, and then I said the date of the donation. Now, I am making an assumption here that they're only going to donate once in a given time period to that drive and that ID. So that would be, if I just kept the date, it would be once a day. They can't donate to it twice a day. If I think they're going to donate to it twice a day, the date can include the time. And the time can go down to the seconds. And they can't hit the keyboard fast enough to donate more than once in a given second. So I'm okay. So date can include time. So wait just a minute. So I've got my ID number for the donor, my ID for the drive, and the date the donation gave, And those three parts are part of my primary key. And then I have an amount. And the amount relates to all three parts. Because this donor giving to this drive on this particular date. Now, did I have to make drive part of the primary key? Probably not. But I was relating it a lot to what drives they're giving to, so I decided to do it. But I could have just had donor ID and date. Okay? So those three parts make the primary key. So they would all have to be highlighted to make the primary key. Okay? Now you had a question.
I was just wondering how, again, you would add time to the date.
You can choose a date that includes the time.
Oh, really? Mm.
Yep. And I'll have to check how to do it, but there is a date that includes time. The date, when you talk about date, date includes all the way up through seconds. And you can truncate that to just show the calendar date, or you can keep the time as part of it. Okay, so in the next 15 minutes, why don't you start putting together the database with those three tables? Make up your own data, okay? I would say that you ought to have maybe three different drives, that you ought to have maybe five or six different donors, and make sure that each donor gives more than once, so you have a nice combination up there, or not all of them, but some of your donors give more than once, and it would probably be nice if they gave the same drive more than once, so you could use different dates. Okay, so start to create those tables. And if you don't remember how to do access, that's what Lindsay's here for. Or me too, for that matter.
No, you can take a break.
So go back in, refresh your mind for access. You're going to have to refresh it for the final anyway. Thursday will be, did I already tell you this? But Thursday will be your last day of class. There will be open labs next week. So Tuesday and Thursday of next week, you'll have open labs from 9:30 in this room, from 9:30 to 3:30. And so that's catch-up time. You can come any time during the 9:30 to 3:30 frame. And probably you'll actually stay later than 3:30, but 3:30, we may be exhausted. So we only promise up through 3:30. But that is your final. Your final is the Tuesday after that. So your final is, let me get the date. Actually, I want to go back to that up there. Your final is scheduled for the 15th, I believe. And so I will make your final available to you before next Tuesday's class on the 8th, and it is due on the 15th. So your final will be posted on the 8th.
I'm so confused. The take-home final?
Yes.
Wow,
okay. Yeah, you like that, all right. It's an open book, open notes, say it's final. I trust you not to use a friend, to just use open notes and open book and open internet and anything else you want except a friend. Or an enemy for that. So it's an open note, open book, final. The final is only 10% of your grade. 80% of your grade is the work you're doing. And so that's 80% of your grade.
So you better catch up.
So you better catch up. Because 80% of your grade is homework and quizzes. And this semester, because I was out sick, I ended up not giving many quizzes because I decided to cut back on those. So your homework really is your 80% of your grade. So if you haven't passed any homework in and you ace the final, that's lovely, you've now got 10 points. You're not gonna pass. So get homework caught up, okay? The final is going to take you more than 2 hours if indeed you do any research, and you're going to. So don't plan on finishing the final in 2 hours. If it wasn't open notes and open book, you could probably finish it in 2 hours, but you're not gonna be able to finish it in 2 hours. If you start looking things up, I'm happy to check them and do things. And in fact, I'm not sure you can finish it in 2 hours if you didn't.
It has to be handed in by the 15th?
It has to be sent to me.
Exactly.
But no, by the 15th. And I don't remember the time, but it's the time and it's scheduled to start, which I think is 10 o'clock. And so that means you've got to email it to me, but I'll post that when I post the final. I'll post the exact time. It has to be emailed to me prior to that or at it. Prior is great, because then I can get ahead of the correct paper, so I like prior. The final has, and I think I've said this before, but the final has some parts that are required and some parts that are optional. And so once you do the required, then you pick and choose the optional to get up to the number of points you need. So let's say 60 points are required, and then you can got 40 more points to get to 100. You pick and choose what things you want to do to get the 40 more points. Actually, you can earn up to 110 because I let you earn 10 points first with her. So, yes, get caught up.
I'm confused on that. If you need 60 points, pass.
No, there are some questions that you have to do. Other questions that you can choose to do to get more points, but you have to choose some of them if you want to get more.
Okay.
You have to choose some of them, but you get the choice of which ones you want to do. So, you know, something you're comfortable with, you can choose. Something you're not comfortable with, you can ignore. But there's more required points than there is optional. Optional is only part of it. I think around a third of it will end up being optional. And if you miss one of the required questions, it's worth like 10 or 15 points. You can't regain that 10 or 15 points because that's required. Okay. If you skip a required question that is worth 10 points, then you've lost 10 points. You can't regain that by doing an extra optional. Now you can regain it to a degree because I get 10 points of extra credit, so if you skip a 10 point required but you do 110, whatever, then you can only get 100. So you can actually regain it to some degree, but only one question of 10 points can be regained. So, we have a mathematically challenging formula to make up to do your exam. So, next week is open lab, as I said. Thursday is the last day of classes. And in fact, probably you'll be working on this most of the time on Thursday.
The open lab is
I'm going to be here and Lynn's going to be here.
Yeah, we'll
both be here.
I usually have another class right away, so it's like, maybe I'll do that.
Okay. 2 o'clock, I'm going to be here. Are you available?
2 o'clock, English.
Okay. 3?
I get out at 3:15.
All right, 3:15. Yeah. I'll be here.
Three?
Yep.
All right, I'll be here.
evening.
The second what, basic?
Yeah.
It's a bunch of different problems. It's not like...
I know, I don't write it basically C++?
No, it was Visual Basic.
No, just the Visual, it's only filed just as Visual Basic?
Yeah, you have to, you open Visual Studio. And then choose Visual Basic from the thing. Well, it gives you a big menu.
New project?
Yes, but you have to make sure that you hit Visual Basic before that. And I am going to try to bring Visual Basic up, but since it takes 10 hours, we'll see if it gets there. But you hit Visual Studio. Ooh, coming faster than it usually does. Okay, so then you come in here and you click on New Project. Come on. We can do it. And the first Visual Basic is done the same way, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. It's going to come up eventually with a screen, and over on the side it gives you a place to choose the language, and you're going to choose Visual Basic. Unfortunately, it takes forever because things have been slowing down more and more every semester. I mean, as the semester goes along.